Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Emily Scarlett. Facebook this week reaching a settlement with the U.S. Federal Trade Commission, admitting that it wasn't very clear with users as to how their personal information was being used. So just what kinds of privacy violations are we talking about? And can anyone using Facebook expect real privacy? To talk about the settlement, I'm joined by Kurt Upsall, a senior staff attorney at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. It's a donor-funded nonprofit that works to defend the speech, privacy, and digital rights of consumers. Kurt, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Now, I should admit from the get-go that I'm not an active Facebook user. I do have an account, although I rarely log in, and well, maybe I'd have a few more friends if I did. How about you? Are you typically on Facebook?
Well, I do have a Facebook account. I try and keep up to speed with things like Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus and such, because it's important to understanding how people's privacy rights will be dealt with in this modern era.
Now, when it comes to the way personal information of Facebook users was used, would it be fair to say that Facebook wasn't very clear on what they were doing with that information?
Well, we saw over the course of Facebook's existence a gradual expansion of the amount of information that was public. You know, Facebook started as a social network for college students, started out of Harvard, started expanding to Ivy League schools and then to schools nationwide and finally to the public. And so when it started, the information that was provided was limited audience. It was just to other people at your college or university. And then as their privacy policy changed, as the site grew, more and more information was put in the category of public information.
Now, the difference is that if it's public, anyone can see it, but if it's private, only your friends can see that information. Now, now, what's the problem? Is that not, in fact, what Facebook distinguished and allowed users to have an ability to block those they don't want looking at their website?
Well, there was a couple of issues that have come up. One was that people were not understanding the controls. So there were a lot of people who were saying something on Facebook, and it was ending up going to a wider audience than they thought it was going to go to. And you can, it's easy to find these sorts of things if you search on some social networks for example, playing hooky. A behavior that people might do when they're skipping school, skipping work, doing something else, but maybe something that they wouldn't want to be public information, and yet you'll see a lot of returns for such a search as people put up on their Facebook pages that they are not going, to where they're supposed to be going. And this suggests that these people are not understanding their privacy settings.
That's not Facebook's fault, is it?
Well, I mean, that depends on how you look at it. I mean, I think one thing that we say for what privacy rights for social network users is that they have to have informed decision-making. And informed decision-making requires a clear interface. And you don't want to have a situation where keeping up with your privacy settings is like a job, that you have to go back to Facebook time and time again and readjust your privacy settings every time a change is made. This is one of the things that really was very important that came out of the FTC settlement, where it required affirmative express consent before enacting changes that override the user's privacy preferences. This means that someone can have the confidence of setting their preferences and then knowing they don't have to log back in and keep on checking to make sure those settings are not changed.
Does that mean that these, 800 million users will now have to go through this process to reaffirm their desire for privacy or lack of it?
Well, what it means for future changes, they need to get affirmative express consent so that the information that has previously been provided can continue to be used for the purposes that it was originally provided for. Where it comes in is when there's a change to that purpose. So to give an example that happened a couple years ago on Facebook, there were some settings that you could say, I like this particular book, I'm a fan of that movie, and so on. And there was a change that was going to take that from something that you could control who got to see to something that would be public information. Under the FTC settlement, they would have to get affirmative consent to make that change.
I'm talking to Kurt Upsall. He's a senior staff attorney at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Now, Kurt, some people would say it's so naive for anyone involved in something like Facebook to really have any sense of privacy. I mean, when you have hundreds of friends, you don't know who may be logging in on their account and looking at your information, and anything could easily leak out into the wider internet audience. Is that not a reality of having a Facebook account?
Well, I mean, it's a reality of living in the world. When you tell somebody something in person, there's also the possibility that they're going to tell somebody else. And the notion, at least with social networks and limiting information to those who you put on your friend list, is that you have some faith that those people will treat your information responsibly. But one of the issues that comes up in the social networking context is what it means to be a Facebook friend may be different from what it means to be a friend in real life. That people are perhaps more likely to assign it the term friendship. So one of the things that we've been seeing is an emerging trend out of Facebook and Google Plus and some other social networks is trying to make it easier to segment your friend list. So that you might have a distinction between, say, best friends and acquaintances, and give people more control. What people want on social networks is not privacy in the sense of no one finding any information out about them whatsoever. I mean, that's not the point of getting on a social network. You get on social networks because you want to share information. But you want to share information to the people you select. You want to have control over who that gets that information.
What about the use of information and for providing information to advertisers? Was Facebook using information from users and giving it out to other companies to use for marketing or advertising?
Well, as I understand it, what Facebook does is uses some of that information to decide which ads go where. So rather than just hand over the information to an advertiser, the information is used in an algorithm to determine who gets what ads. There were some technical problems that occurred along the way in which it appeared that information was nevertheless getting to advertisers. Facebook made some changes when those things came to light. And this highlights the some of the problems that, your privacy is only as good as the security and the technical correctness of the software. Hopefully, those problems will be minimized in the future.
Why did it require the involvement of the Federal Trade Commission? I mean, why wasn't Facebook addressing these issues on its own?
You know, that is a really good question. It is unusual for the FTC to act, but the FTC will act when it sees that there is a problem. And what we were seeing with the social networking space is that there was a lot of widespread public concern about the privacy issues. And I think that the proactive and perhaps smarter thing to do would be to have made these changes a long, long time ago and try and make sure you don't get into a situation where the FTC is filing a complaint and it leads to a settlement. And I think some other companies, new social networking companies, or even any company that is considering adding social to their products would want to look at this situation and think to themselves, let's take some proactive steps to make sure that we are handling privacy properly from the get-go and don't have to come to a situation where a government regulator is reaching a settlement.
Will users of Facebook then in the near future see changes to their options of privacy settings and how that's structured?
Well, one of the main changes is this affirmative express consent, which means that it is opt-in instead of opt-out. And I think that will users will start to see that pretty soon. There's another important change here, which was real deletion. So under the new settlement, Facebook is required to prevent access users' materials after the user deletes their account, 30 days after the user deletes the account. And this is another sort of aspect that is useful to users and consumers. If they eventually decide they don't want to be part of a social network, perhaps too much of their information is being spread, or they're worried about how it will be done, or maybe they want to move to a different service, one that offers better features or more privacy, that you can actually leave and not have your information still be there. It's vital for competition for people to be able to effectively leave.
Finally, one last thing. Do you think most Americans really understand the permanence and the consequences of posting things on the internet? It could be used in all kinds of contexts, and especially if you're looking for a job, things like that.
You know, when you say something online, whether it's on a social network, on a blog, or any other forum, it has a different effect than in the real world because of the memory, is that online will remember forever, while in ordinary people will tend to forget what you said and will not last as long, be more ephemeral. And that's something that people should be aware of when they are saying information, and think carefully about the privacy and access settings, so that they are sure that the information will go only to the appropriate audiences.
Well, I'm guessing people are much more savvy today than they were in the early days of Facebook. Kurt Upsall, a senior staff attorney at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.